appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. I think when I was at Public Service Commission, I had the opportunity to go speak at one of these conferences at the University of Georgia. And I happened to be on the Universal Service panel, and I would say that was probably 15 years ago. And I was the fifth speaker on that panel, and let me tell you, you're the fifth speaker. There's nothing left to say about Universal Service. And I don't think that there's a whole lot to say today that everybody else out here isn't aware of. And we've been talking about this for a long time. About the only thing that's occurred in the last 15 years is that the problem with Universal Service funding has gotten worse. Certainly not better. The only thing I do know is that I'm not responsible. And nothing I know from the rest of the room today. I think that from a Universal Service perspective in Florida, we're in pretty good shape, I think, because we have the majority of Florida handled by the three large carriers. We have Sprint, Verizon, Mark, Verizon, AT&T. We have very few small companies. It's only got 27. Just to give you a quick background on TPS, we operate in 28 different states. We have over, I believe last count was something like 128 phone companies. So we have a wide range of universal service issues. We've got companies that are at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. We've got a company that's on an island off the coast of Maine. In Quincy, in Florida, we have Quincy, which is within some unique circumstances in terms of the economic makeup of the community. And then we also have some more urban properties that have just kind of been an outgrowth of some of the larger cities becoming better communities. So, you know, we have a rather diverse background in terms of what our universal service needs are. There are certainly areas in which we need a lot of support, and I would say areas in which the need for support isn't as great. Depending on what your goals are that you want to accomplish. We support the concept of, I won't rely on the limb and say that we're looking at ubiquitous broadband deployment. It's become the new catchphrase today that many politicians and regulators are looking for. We basically approach things today as, allowing the market to evolve. Problem that you have, especially in rural areas, is that you have demand for broadband services from certain groups of customers that really, really want it, but there's not enough demand for it. But there's this belief that we need to make sure that they get access to it. So now we're all struggling with trying to figure out how we get there today. Now, the problem with universal service funding today is that we're trying to enhance competition in rural markets with the use of universal service funds. Now, we can talk about whether we should approve CBTCs in rural markets, such as wireless, with the idea that it's cheaper technology. But then you have to ask yourself, what is it that you want from phone service today? Is it purely the mobility issue? Or do we go back to our early days of the importance of the phone for emergency purposes, things of that nature? Because there's a lot of areas in rural communities, especially, in which a wireless phone is not going to be working very well as you're down there on the lake, or you're up in the mountains. That's happened to be the place where you live. So then, standing out on top of the roof or running down the block to call 911 isn't a very good alternative. And those are things I think that policymakers need to look at. What is it that we want from the telephone service today. And does that policy demand some type of a funding mechanism to ensure that it's available all they need? Now today, if you go back, I think it was in 1990, the size of the Universal Service Fund was about $900 million. Today it's approaching $7 billion. And if you look, a big portion of that has gone to schools and libraries, which is over close to $3 billion today. And then you have the wireless UTCs that are commanding a significant sum of that money today. Where does it get us? I mean, we've got several CETCs receiving universal service support in the same market. And so, regulator or policymaker or what have you has to determine, do we need to be funding multiple providers in the market? And then if we do, why? What's the best way of doing that? And then we're going to limit it to two. You have some where you're getting three or four providers in the market that are receiving high cost scores. So those are a lot of challenges that we all get to face and we're all dealing with. I mean, we're just, you know, the big push now is looking at often involved high cost support in those services. And that sounds, yeah, I mean, but everyone's in front of their business, so, you know, you have your selfish reasons for doing things. I mean, I don't think everybody would probably be saying, yes, it's a great idea. We want to have the ability of somebody maybe displacing our universal service funds. But at the same time, we're also recognizing that there seems to be a growing interest in that, and we're preparing for the possibility that that may be occurring, and that we'll find ourselves in a situation where we don't see the nonprofits or home properties. Our position at this point in time is that we're going to go into the auction business. You know, let's focus it on the wireless industry right now and see what type of results that you have. And are you able to generate the same types of policies that you want to have in terms of ensuring that all customers have access to a quality of service that you think is acceptable? And then from there, that ends up ultimately, you know, displacing wire lines from ICOM support. You know, I guess, you know, we have to live with that. But at the same time, I think when you look at auctions, though, it's going to need to be a situation in which it's an entire company area. For example, when the community that we serve in Gaston County, we've re-exchanged it with Winston, Bradley, Greensboro. If someone comes in and takes over the high cost support that we're receiving in Winston, well, that also will help and support these areas of Greensboro and Bradley. Then is there any incentive for me to continue to serve those areas? Now, you have the opportunity to say, I'm no longer going to be a carrier of last resort. I want to abandon the market, I should have that option. But then that's going to be about the policymakers to figure out who's going to take care of those customers. Because there's not always going to be someone to fill in the gaps. I can promise you that. It just won't happen.
Thanks. It's not. Everybody hear me okay?